how many of you in here have ever gotten a man cold? And do we have anybody in here that's ever had a man cold? It's just like a woman cold, but obviously way worse than a woman cold. Any of you guys? I'm noticing that there's not a lot of hands going up, men or women, that have ever gotten a man cold. Dennis and Barbara Rainey wrote a book called Staying Close, and in that book, he suggests that the response that a person has to a cold evolves the longer that you're married. So the first year, it's like the wife says to the husband, "Baby, darling, I'm worried about that sniffle that you have. So I've called the paramedics to rush you to the hospital for a checkup and a week of rest. I know you don't like hospital food, so I've prepared gourmet food that I'm going to deliver to you every night. And I just want to make sure that you're safe and warm and comfortable." And that's the first year of marriage. The second year of marriage, "Sweetheart, I don't really like the sound of that cough. I've arranged for the doctor to make a house call." That's pretty good, right? "Let me tuck you in to bed." Third year of marriage, "You look like you've got a fever. Why don't you drive yourself to the store, pick up some cough medicine, I'll watch the kids, and then you can just go to bed and I'll take care of everything here." Fourth year of marriage, "Look, be sensible. After you fed and bathed the kids, washed the dishes, you really should just go to bed for the night." Fifth year, "For Pete's sake, do you have to cough so loud? I can't hear the TV. Would you mind going into the other room while this show is on? You sound like a barking dog." So as you can see, over the years, and I don't know what it is. Maybe there's something about men that, I heard one time that men don't have babies because God saw the way that they handled colds and knew that they couldn't. I can only speak from my experience and say that when I get a cold, it is the worst thing on earth. And so, anyway. But luckily, I have a wife that still takes care of me. So thank you, babe. Okay, today we're going to talk about healthy relationships, not just marriage relationships, not just dating relationships, but relationships with coworkers, relationships with family and friends, all of the different interactions that you have in life. Because while this is pertains to marriage, it also pertains to all of the close relationships that we have, because they're all built on the same foundation. Now, we're in a series called Made New, and we've been talking about how God makes our lives better and how God makes us better at life. That when we come into a relationship with Him, when we get to know Him, we begin to see how things change in us that eventually leads to our life getting better because we're getting better at life. And we believe that these things are directly related to the truth that's found in this word right here. We believe that as we start to apply the principles that God has laid out for us, that it's like I've recently talked about it as a recipe. It's like a recipe. You know, not every time that you apply the recipe does it come out 100% successful. Sometimes you get a phone call in the middle of making pasta and you burn the noodles to the bottom of the pan, right? Even though you've done it 100 times, every once in a while there's just things that happen. But most of the time, if you apply the principles that are written in this book, you're going to see success and you're going to see God come through for you in different areas of your life. And the inverse is definitely true. When you don't spend time applying and learning and studying this book, then you see that life becomes more and more difficult. So week one was about how God makes our lives better and makes us better at life. We said that God loves us where we are, but He loves us too much to leave us there. And so what we see in the Bible is the Bible becomes like a mirror, like a recipe card that says if you examine yourself against this book, you start to learn, you start to see some of the shortcomings in your life, and then as you correct those things, you become better at life. Week two, we said we can trust Him in the process. We know that hard times happen. We know that things are difficult sometimes, but we can trust Him when we're going through all of the different ups and downs of life. And when we start to live according to what's outlined in the Bible, we start to see things in a new light. We start to have a greater perspective on what's happening. We talked about casting our cares on God because He cares for us. We talked about how sometimes when you go to God, you can yell at Him And he understands. He can take it. In fact, if you're doing the Bible reading with us, gcmoseslake.org/Bible recap, if you haven't yet signed up, make sure to do that. But if you're doing the Bible reading with us, today was all Psalms, and about half of them were David crying out to God, God, why did you put me in this mess? Why am I so heartbroken? What is happening right now? And then by the end of the Psalm, he's like, but I'm going to trust you. I'm gonna lean on you because I know that you care for me, because I know that you want to make a way in my life. You see, God makes our lives better, and he makes us better at life. We have a better perspective on what's happening in our lives. And in the same way, God helps all of our relationships as we become more like him. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible teaches us that there's a foundation that you can build your relationship on that's going to help you to weather the storms of life. That when you set your foundation on what God teaches, it will help your structure, it will help your house stay strong in all of the storms and all of the things that are happening in life. So who needs to hear this? If you're married, widowed, dating, or single, you need to hear this. If you have kids, you need to hear this. Also, if you have parents, you need to hear this. If you have coworkers, friends, neighbors, you need to listen, because for all of us in all different areas of life, we want to build our relationships in a way that honors God and that then makes them gives them the highest chance for success. Now, as I was praying about this message today, just this morning, I felt God talk to me, and we're actually going to split it into a part two next week, because next week I'm going to talk about forgiveness, and I'm going to talk about boundaries. So we're not going to get into that today, but I wanted to prompt you guys. Some of you know people that are struggling with putting up appropriate boundaries. We're going to talk about that next week. So just to give you guys a heads up, get them here, because I believe that the Bible, again, talks about having healthy boundaries and also forgiving those that have hurt us. So we're going to dive into that more next week. But for this week, we want to talk about how we make our relationships better by becoming better ourselves. We make our relationships better by becoming better versions of ourselves. And as we read through this, or as we study this today, this should give us some clues then in what to look for in a future spouse or a business partner, roommate, close friend, anybody that you're going to regularly interact with, especially at a deeper level. You want to make sure that you see these qualities operating in their life so that you know that this is the type of person that our relationships are going to have the best opportunity for success. So our big picture today, if you don't hear anything else from what I'm talking about, I want you guys to hear this, that a healthy relationship starts with a healthy me. A healthy relationship starts with a healthy me. And I believe that a healthy me comes from learning and applying the principles that are written in this book right here. Healthy relationship starts with a healthy me. Now we're gonna look at 1 Corinthians 13. This is a passage that a lot of us know. For some of you guys, this might be new, but if you've ever attended a wedding before, there's a good chance that you've read through or heard somebody read through this passage. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he wrote this letter to correct some of the divisions and some of the unhealthy things that were happening in the church. There was things like division, there was tolerance of sin, there was other issues, and what these issues did is they kept them from being able to stand apart from the world. People were looking at the church and saying, it's no different than my friends at the bar, so why would I come to church if you guys are acting the same way and you're doing the same things? There were issues like church members were taking each other to court instead of resolving things peacefully and things like that. So he goes into all of these issues in this letter to the church in Corinth. In chapters 12 to 14, he talks about being a body, and he talks about how worship should go. In fact, 1 Corinthians 11 is where we read just a few minutes ago about the communion passage, and it's in this whole section about how to have orderly worship. But in the middle of chapters 12 to 14, he stops for a minute, And he says, you know what? All of this stuff that I've been talking about is good. But if you don't get this one thing right, then none of the rest of it matters. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Oh, I'm on 12 still. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, in other words, if I'm standing up here, if I'm Pastor Tiffany, I'm playing the keyboard, I feel like God is speaking something to me, and I share it out. If I tell people, you know, if I tell people what God is sharing to me, but I don't have love, he says I'm a clanging cymbal, I'm a resounding gong. I'm not Pastor Tiffany anymore. Now I'm Judah back on the drum set, just making noise, right? Love you, Judah. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I can speak out the very words of God and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, my understanding of Scripture, my understanding of God is so deep that nobody can match my understanding. If I know all of these things, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything that I have to the poor, if I'm one of those people that is just so generous that I am regularly emptying my bank account, giving all of that I have away in order that the poor might be taken care of, if I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship, in other words, I not only give everything that I have, but I give myself in order to help these people, but I don't do it with an attitude of love, he says, I gain nothing. And so you see, Paul is setting up here that it doesn't matter how great your worship service is. It doesn't matter how orderly things are. It doesn't matter how you're working together as a body. If there's not this underlying thing, it's worthless. It's nothing. It's just noise. It doesn't mean anything. And then he goes into this passage. And it's so powerful what God wants to speak here. The dictionary doesn't really have a clear definition of what love is, because in the English language, we use love to mean so many different things, don't we? I can love the Seahawks. I can love chocolate. I love solving puzzles. I also love my kids. I love my spouse. Love can be romantic. It can be friendly. It can be unconditional. Love, it means all sorts of different things to different people at different times and in different contexts. And sometimes love means I would give everything. Sometimes love means I am willing to pay $2 for a candy bar at the grocery store. I don't know. Love means all sorts of different things in different ways. If love is just attraction, then of course what happens 10 years from now when you wake up next to the person and their breath stinks and their hair's a mess, they don't have their makeup on, you're like, you're still beautiful and I still love you, right? If love is a feeling, then what happens when you don't feel it anymore? And Paul doesn't answer this question directly. Instead, he sets out, these are some of the things that love means. And so as we read through this, what love is, I want you to focus on this idea that love is, if love is a feeling, then that feeling is determination. If love is a feeling, that feeling is persistence. If love is a feeling, that feeling is, I'm going to stick with it in the good times and the bad times. No matter what comes, you know, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, I'm going to stick with it. That's the feeling that love carries with it. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient. In other words, it waits for you to get ready. It doesn't pressure you to make decisions. It doesn't pressure you to do things that you don't want to do. Love resists forcing itself and instead is willing to wait for the proper time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is nice, right? When we get into a loving relationship, there is a feeling there. There's a sense there of safety, knowing that the other person wants my best interest, wants the best things for me. It rejoices when good things happen to you. It is there for you when hard things come. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. In other words, it doesn't want what you have. And that could be a Nintendo Switch, but that could also be your accomplishments. It could be your position. It could be the friend group that you have. We've all known people that struggle with envy, and it's just hard to be around them because it feels like they're always comparing themselves in one way or another. But love doesn't do that. Love doesn't envy. Instead, it rejoices when you get the things, when you get the accomplishments. It loves that you are getting the things that are good in life. It doesn't boast. It's not proud, the Bible says. In other words, it's looking to build others up instead of proclaiming how great it is. And so what we see here between it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, and it's not proud, it's like it doesn't want what you have. It doesn't look down on you for the things that you have or the things that you are. And it's not proud. In other words, it's not trying to put itself above you. Instead, love celebrates the other person. Love rejoices in the other person. It doesn't dishonor others. In other words, it's not going around cutting you down. It's not talking about you behind your back. If you want to know what love is, if you want to know if somebody loves you, look for the way, if you can find out how they talk about you when you're not around. It's such a key there for understanding love. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. In other words, it's not looking for what it can gain, but for what it can give. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. And this one is so crucial in everything. We're gonna come back to it in a couple minutes. But it's too easy to make a mental list of all of the ways that somebody has hurt you. It's too easy to start to hold on to those things. And well, you said and you did and or you didn't do. And when I felt this way, when I was, dying sick on the couch, and you said you told me to take care of myself instead of taking care of me, right? And man colds are real. and love doesn't, it's not easily angered, and it doesn't keep a record of those things. Instead, love seeks to understand. It seeks we're gonna get into it in a couple minutes here. All right, moving on. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, there's different levels of commitment and trust, right? There's different when you're the relationship that you have with your librarian is different than the relationship that you have with your siblings or the relationship you have with your parents or your spouse. But in different ways, depending on the relationship, love is protecting, it's trusting, it's hoping, and it's persevering. Now, again, we're going to get into this more next week, but you can love somebody and you can trust somebody without putting yourself into a position where you're constantly being attacked, where you're constantly being beat up, where you're constantly being pushed around, right? And so we're going to talk next week about forgiveness and boundaries because I feel like we don't have time to cover all of it right now. So when we say it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, sometimes the most loving thing you can do for somebody is to set boundaries. Sometimes the most loving thing that you can do for somebody is to say that this is where you're allowed to be in my life, and you can't step over that, and you can't come any closer because there's some things that they need to figure out. There's some things that they need to learn, and it's not kind to them to just give them whatever they want. Anyway, we'll get into that more next week, but that's kind of where we're going there. And then verse 8, the first three words, love never fails. Love never fails. Miguel Ruiz said, respect is one of the greatest expressions of love. When we see and when we're thinking about what love is, one of the things that stands out to me in this passage is this idea of respecting the other person, understanding, having grace in different situations, not taking all of the either responsibility or all of the blame or all of the problems on ourselves, but instead it respects the other person. It seeks to work with them. It seeks to communicate with them. Love is patient and kind. It says it doesn't force, but instead it works with the person. It's love is patient and kind. It's respectful in this way. It doesn't want what you have, belittle what you have, or think that it's better than you, right? It's not envious, boastful, or proud. So when we think about love as a foundation, then if love is the foundation, then respect becomes almost like the framework of the house, where love carries everything. It's got all of the weight on it, that love is the most important thing. If you don't have a good foundation, then you're going to be in trouble. But respect is important in building those walls and helping to provide structure to everything that's happening. One of the keys to respect is communication. One of the biggest keys to respect is learning to communicate, learning to say, when you did this, it made me feel this way. You know, if you need to confront somebody, you always talk about how it made you feel. You don't point the finger, well, when you do this, you're just a bad person. But it's when you do this, it makes me feel this. Learning to communicate, learning some of those tips and tricks is so essential in all of our relationships, in all of the things that we go through, because it shows honor, but also it's not honoring if you're just a doormat all the time. It's not always honoring if you just allow people to walk all over you. Love expects the good in every situation. So if you hear something about your roommate or your spouse or your business partner and they're saying, oh, well, you know, this person did this and they, you know, love expects, goes into that confrontation or that conversation, and it says, I'm believing the best and I'm coming and seeking to understand. It expects that there's a good explanation, right? It expects that there's something that's happening that the third party person didn't know or didn't understand. It expects the best in every area. This is respect. This is us honoring the other person enough to let them tell their side of the story. What we're doing is really we're treating them with dignity as a human being. We're saying I am extending to you a measure of trust, and I'm waiting to see now how you're going to handle this trust that I've extended to you, but I'm coming at it from a position of trust, of respect. When you have respect in a relationship, it builds a feeling of safety. And so that's why it becomes this framework for a relationship, is because with respect, there's safety. Without respect, feels like everything's chaotic. You don't understand. You don't know what's going to happen next. And some of you guys have been in relationships like that, where you didn't know how the person was going to respond in a given situation. You didn't know what was going to happen. It's because there's not that respect. There's not that trust there. Remember, again, with respect, that you're on the same team. And if one of you wins, then both of you wins. And so, you know, again, going back to that, love honors, love rejoices, love is excited when good things happen. It's not envious, it doesn't want to keep for itself, but instead it shares, because when one of us wins, both of us wins. And then it keeps no record of wrongs. So respect is our first key. Trust then would be the next thing that we want to focus on here, as we're building again this foundation that is going to bring health to all of our relationships. Trust is consistency over time. In 1 Corinthians, it says that love protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. In a marriage relationship, it can't be 50-50. It has to be 100-100, right? You have to go into it with all of yourself. Now, in other relationships in life, depending on how close the person is or what their station is, you might be able to hold a little bit back. And in fact, sometimes it's healthy to hold a little bit back as you're exploring, especially for those of you that are dating but haven't yet, you're not engaged yet, you're not married yet. It's good to wait and see and to give trust slowly so that the other, you know, you can see how the other person handles the trust that you're giving out. And so trust then is built when somebody expresses a need, that need is met, and then it happens over and over and over again. This is how we build trust. It's like baseball, right? If you're a pitcher for the Seattle Mariners, you have to be 100% perfect with every single one of your pitches, don't you? Because if you don't, the offense is probably going to let you down. But if you can do it, if you're Luis Castillo, I think it was this last week, pitched, the Mariners had to hold the team scoreless or one run until the ninth inning, and then all of a sudden they come and they score five or six runs. Sometimes it feels like you just have to be perfect over and over and over again, and that's really how you build trust. That's how you build relationships. I like to say that trust is gained in drips and lost in bucketfuls. It's like sticking a bucket under a leaky faucet, and you drip in slowly over time. You can trust me. You can trust me. You can trust me. You can trust me. And then you come along and you kick the bucket over. You're like, oh, now I got to start all the way back at the beginning. You can trust me. You can trust me. You can trust me. You can trust me. But in your relationships, it's worth it. In your relationships, this is how you build a foundation that's going to last. Now, the beautiful thing is, the longer you've done it, the less impact any one decision makes. But you've got to be consistent. You've got to keep coming to the person over and over and over again. And here's why. Because when we have trust in a relationship, here's what it provides to the relationship. Trust is made up of safety. Physical or verbal rejection erodes trust. Nagging says, I don't trust you, and leads to feelings of instability in the relationship, but also not following through leads to those same feelings. So, men, if you feel like your wife is nagging you, just do what she asked. And don't laugh at that. Safety, and then reliability is the next one, right? Knowing that if you're asked to do something from your boss, that you're going to come through, and the more times your boss asks you to do something and you come through for them, the more that they're going to give you responsibility, the further you're going to advance in the company, because you've been proving yourself to be trustworthy. So it brings safety, it brings reliability, it brings commitment. Now, when we talk about commitment, we say that it's God first, spouse and family second, and then your job third. We want our most important relationships to get the biggest level of commitment, and then we kind of filter out from there. But we want to make sure that we're taking care of our most important relationships first. And then the last one is faithfulness, and we're talking about all different forms of faithfulness. Obviously, in a marriage, it would be sexually faithful, but it's also emotionally faithful. It's also being somebody that can be counted on during the hard times. It's being that person that you can trust, that you can rely in, that is faithful in all circumstances. They don't turn away during the bad times, but instead, we learn to lean in. Ephesians 4 says this. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up for today with this, because we're going to talk more about forgiveness next week. But what I want us to think about today is one of the biggest expressions of trust in a relationship is this ability to forgive. Is this ability to set aside my feelings, because those feelings grip us, don't they? It's so hard sometimes to set those things aside, and yet trust is extending to somebody else what you hope that they would extend to you, and it's doing for them what you want them to do for you. We build trust by taking a step, by extending a little bit. We talked about this last week, right? We build trust by putting ourselves out there, and then you know, seeing what happens and seeing what God wants to do in our lives. So this applies to every area of our lives, every relationship that we're involved in. It might be a teacher at school, it might be a best friend, it might be a spouse. But all of these things, in all of these different areas, in all of these different relationships, we need to build this foundation of love and then the framework of respect and trust in order to see our relationships have the best chance at being successful. Now, again, next week, we're going to talk about what happens when our relationships aren't working right, We're going to talk about what happens when somebody throws a wrench in, what happens when somebody betrays, when somebody oversteps, when somebody is unfaithful. But for today, I want us to focus on us. Because a healthy relationship begins with a healthy me. And for me, what I want to do, what I want to experience, what I want to be able to share with others is respect, is trust, is love. I'm giving myself to see, you know, what they're going to do with it. I'm putting myself out there to see if there's, if there's a deeper relationship possible. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we've had to gather together today, Lord, and to learn about these relationships. And God, I just pray that now you would help us to think about the areas in our life where maybe we're struggling, where maybe we have a hard time extending trust, where maybe there's a relationship that has been hurt, that's been affected, that has caused pain in our lives. And God, we know that there's a struggle there. God, I pray that you would speak to us right now. And Lord, you would show us what you want us to do in this relationship. God, there's some relationships that are so important that it means that we need to go back out there and to extend more respect, more trust, more love. And God, I just pray that you would give us the boldness and the courage to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is the relationship, or what is the foundation that's going to help your relationship weather the storms of life? It's love manifesting itself in respect, trust, and then forgiveness that we're going to talk about next week. And when it comes to relationships that offer these things and expect them in return, you're going to build connections that will last a lifetime. Now, some of you are in here and you're saying to yourself today, I've got a relationship that's struggling. And I know that there's a certain person that I need to talk to this week, that I need to connect with, that maybe there's not a big conflict, but we've just grown distant. And there's something, and I don't know if there's anything between us or not, but there's just this space there where there used to be trust, where there used to be commitment, where there used to be this feeling of safety. Now it feels like things are unstable in the relationship. Now it feels like things are unsettled. We want to take these people to the Lord in prayer today, because we believe that as we cast our cares on Him, that He answers us. As we lay these relationships down at His feet, He shows us our next steps. He talks to us. He guides us through it. The Bible says that your word is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my path, that I can trust you in all of these things, because we know that God cares for us. God wants to take care of us in all of these things. And so what I want to do today is a little bit different. I'm gonna instead of having everybody come down front, I'm just gonna ask you to raise your hand in a minute if you have a relationship in your life that you feel like needs some work, that you're processing it, you're thinking about it. At the end of the service today, we'll have our prayer partners down front here. If you want specific prayer, if you want somebody to come alongside of you and just empathize with you and call out to God on your behalf, we'll have our prayer partners down here, and they would love to pray with you and talk with you. But for a lot of us, the response today isn't an altar call, it's a conversation. It's not coming down front. You already know what needs to happen. And so what I want to pray over you today is that God would give you boldness. Because trust is gained in drips and is lost in bucketfuls. We have to extend trust before we can see it start to fill up. So if that's you in this place, if you're saying, man, I am distant from my kids. I would love to have a better relationship with my kids. If you say, my spouse and I have been fighting lately, you say, I've got a coworker that just rubs me the wrong way and I don't know how to deal with this person. You say, you know, there's a relationship in my life. I'm gonna ask God right now to place a name or a person in your mind that God would give you something to, a way to initiate that conversation. God would give you the boldness to be able to take that next step in your relationship. Father God, I just ask right now, Lord, that you would speak to us, God, that you would reveal a relationship, God, that needs some work. And God, I pray that then you would give us the next step. God, we've talked about the foundation today, but God, the foundation is only sufficient if we work on it, if we continue to learn from you, God, and then continue to put these things into practice. And so, God, I pray that you would help us today in building these foundations that would help us to build healthy relationships. So if you're in here today and God just placed a name or a face in your mind, just go ahead and raise your hand high. And I just want to pray for you that God would touch you in these relationships. Just anybody in here, go ahead and raise your hand high. Father God, you see the hands that are raised right now. God, you know the hearts that you're dealing with today. And so God, I just ask right now, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon them. God, that you would give them the boldness. God, you would give them the words to say, Lord, that God, you would help them as they navigate these relationships to see you at work behind the scenes. God, I pray that they would be patient, kind, trustworthy. God, that they would always hope, always protect, always persevere. God, that they would extend love, and God, that they would see love then extended back to them. And Lord, I pray for those relationships that need to be cut off. God, for those relationships that you would say, this is not healthy and you need to give the other person space in order to become healthy. God, I pray that you would give them the courage and the boldness to make those decisions as well. Father God, I just ask now that as we go, Lord, you would give each of us in here the courage to take our next steps in all of our relationships as we continue to take our steps in our relationship with you. God, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have our prayer partners come down front here. If you want prayer today, make sure you don't leave without getting prayer. Otherwise, you guys are dismissed. Thank you guys so much for being here today, and have a great week.